Give a introduction, which is also the first installment to this Megillah series. The Rambam at the end of Hilchos Megillah paskens that he takes the Lashon of Chazal literally, that in the future we're going to stop learning Nevi'im and Ksuvim, and our whole learning, that which will be considered the Torah. Right, the books that will make up the Torah will only be the Chumash, the Torah Shebaal Peh, the Oral Law, and Megillah Esther. Right, and the Megillah. The Megillah is, and the words of Rambam, like the Chumash and like Torah Shebaal Peh, that's never annulled. Right, it's very, very huge, very shocking that that the Megillah is on the level of the Chumash. That's on the level of the Oral Law for sure, because there's a lot of lessons there, but it has a din of Torah Shebichsav, just like the Chumash itself, which is the holiest of the scrolls. Right? They say all the other scrolls of the Nevi'im and Ksuvim will go out of use. And Megillah is up there, with the Chumash. It's amazing. Right? And indeed, there's an allusion to this in the Gemara, in the Halachas, of how to write a Megillah. So the words of the Gemara are Megillah Sricha Sirtut. You have to scratch the lines, right, in the Megillah, the way to scratch Ka'amita Shofar, like the truth of Torah. Let me just say, you have to scratch the lines in the Megillah scroll like you scratch a Sefer, but like the truth of Torah. Megillah is like the emes of Torah. That again is another hint to some type of common denominator between Megillah and the Chumash itself, that they're both the same type of emes. Now the truth is that the Chumash is Moshe Rabbeinu's book, right? And Moshe Rabbeinu is central to the whole struggle against Amalek, right? That by the original war, right? Moshe Rabbeinu's hands, when they were up, the Jewish people were victorious. When they were down, Jewish people would lose. And that was most definitely a very central role in the battle. And we have to understand also in what way, we have that power of Moshe Rabbeinu with us constantly, because we fight Amalek in every generation. Muhammad Hashem b'Amalek midor dor. There's a Muhammad against Amalek in every generation. There's so it has to be the power of Moshe Rabbeinu there. So Moshe Rabbeinu, who the Chumash is his book. He wrote in the name of God, but only he can write a book like that in the name of God. No one else. So the Chumash is his, came through him, I mean to say. And the Megillah is like part two of that. And we're beginning to get somewhere. Because, Moshe Rabbeinu is central to the war against Amalek. And the famous Gemara in Chulin, where, the Gemara brings allusions to all the characters of Purim from the Chumash, that we find allusions to them even way before they lived. So that sugya opens up Moshe Ben HaTorah, first finding allusion to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah even before he was born, and then proceeds into giving allusions to all the characters of the story of Purim, Haman, Mordechai, and Esther. So there's something here, there's something how, Moshe Rabbeinu and his level, which is the Chumash, and the struggle against Amalek, which the ultimate example, victorious struggle against Amalek is Purim, how these two go together, and therefore Megillas Esther and Chumash go together in some type of way, some type of complementary way, which needs to be understood. Okay, so the Gemara says in Megillah, that one of the Amoraim before teaching Megillah used to always open up with this pasuk, "Tachas ma'atzutz yaleh barosh v'tachas asir pad yaleh hadas v'yal Hashem Hashem." Right, the pasuk says in the Navi, right, that under the under one type of wheat grows the barosh, which refers to Mordechai, and under the other type of wheat grows the myrtle, which is Esther. Something along those lines, and in all those cases, the weeds are allusions to Haman, and the bad guys in the Megillah. V'yal Hashem, it should be for Hashem a name, Zu Megillah, right? And this will be God's name, right? This will be a name for God, right? That's the Megillah, Right, the Megillah is called a Hashem making a name for himself, which, you know, is very ironic, because we know that Hashem's name is not mentioned anywhere in the Megillah, black and white. There's only allusions, right? That the Gemara says that if it says Hamelech, generally, you know, Hamelech, he doesn't say specifically Hamelech Achashverosh, the king Achashverosh, just says Hamelech Stam, you could understand it going on Hashem, but Hashem is only alluded to. Right? His name is not there, and yet it's called Hashem has a name. That's the Megillah. Okay. So to understand all this, so you have to understand there's a fundamental principle which is very well explained in all the writings of the Ramchal, but it's like the ultimate principle of Judaism, and it's also the principle that the course of destiny runs on. And that is that the message of Judaism, which is the message that emerges clearly at the end of destiny, is Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. God is one and his name is one, meaning he is known as one. That's what it means. His name is one. Not only is he the one and only, but it is known. He is known as, you know, it is clearly acknowledged that he is the one and only. That even though God created so many types of different forces in reality, and each one has a certain name to it, which is also the name of its particular connection to Hashem, but Hashem's name will be one, is that we will know that God is the one and only, and even all these other created forces that he enabled to exist, they're not others. They cannot compete with God. They cannot obscure God. Right? They cannot impede upon God. That's what's all meant, that, you know, and his name is one that we will know it and we will acknowledge it, that even though we see so many different forces in reality, particularly the force of evil, right, we should still know, you know, that God is the one and only. You know, it should even be revealed amongst all the other things that we could identify, that still all these things aren't real like God's real. None of these things have real control. Only God has real control. That's what it means, that his name is one. Right now, so as the Ramchal points out, you know, this is the message of Judaism, right? And this is the message that emerges from the end of destiny, meaning this is the testimony we're supposed to give the world. We're supposed to testify to the world that God is the one and only. And the Rambam writes this quite emphatically in the Sefer HaMitzvot, in the second mitzvah of knowing that God is one. And that's, you know, that's our mission in the world, to declare his oneness. And this is well known. It's in all our prayers and all our midrashim. That's our mission on earth. And it's called that our mission has been fulfilled if we could give our testimony and hang tight till the end of destiny, and then God will show the whole world what we were testifying to the whole time. And it could also be said in the other way, that in the merit of our testimony that to the oneness of God, so that, you know, expedites, you know, destiny playing itself out to its happy conclusion. Right? The two go together. Right? And the story of the Jewish people is the story of destiny. God uses us as the vehicle to reveal his oneness to the world. How do the Goyim start up with God? By starting up with the Jewish people. And how the Jewish people endure, and those who try to annihilate us are themselves annihilated, and themselves, you know, put down. That's how God shows his invincibility. We are the vehicle. We are the vehicle to show God's oneness, meaning that he's the one and only, and he cannot be beat. He's the one and only. Only one real power. We are the vehicle. And Amalek stands against that. Amalek, you know, their being against the Jewish people is a function of their being against God. Right? And there's a lot of midrashim to that effect, that they want to annihilate the Jewish people as a function of annihilating God from the world. That, you know, the Ushmo Echad, that, you know, if God will be the one and only in heaven, so be it, but he won't be the one and only here. They're against the Ushmo Echad, right? The revelation of God's oneness to all of humanity, to the global consciousness. So they have to get rid of the Jewish people to pull that off. So maybe they can't physically kill God, you know, kill God literally. Right, God will always exist, but they can make God dead, you know, to the global consciousness, particularly the Ushmo Echad. So now, as Ramchal points out, right, to for the purpose of even of giving greater clarity to God's unity, so he didn't just, you know, say, I'm the only one, I'm the only one, to clarify, right, that he's the one and only. Ramchal writes in many places. So God allowed himself to be competed with. So he facilitates the existence of evil and all the forces that could be used for bad and used against God. He allows them all to exist, right? And he'll fight with them, and he'll make it clear that it's not for lack of competition that God's the one and only. It's not because he has a monopoly, right? He has a monopoly, and that's why there's no competition. He'll allow competition to exist, and he'll defeat it just the same. He'll defeat it fairly. He'll defeat it in a fair fight. And that way you have it clear that God is really the one and only. It's not for lack of competition, right? There can't be any competition. He'll allow it, and he'll defeat it. Right, so it's an amazing thing, as Ramchal points out, that unity is clarified in the negative. Unity is, I'm the one and only, no one can compete with me. Right? How do you show that that's really, really, really true, and not just you saying so? Bring on the competition, bring on the others, and negate them. Right? So, unity is clear, that I'm the one and only is clarified, ironically, by bringing on all the others, so let their seem as if there's more than one, and negate them all, right? So, ain od mevavet, there's none other than him. How do you demonstrate? Bring out the odes, bring on the others, and make them ain, and make them nothing. And then you've showed that you really won, right? And that's the duality, that there has to be demonstrating the good, possibly, but there's also the negating of the evil. And the negating of the evil is part of emphasizing and accentuating, right, and buttressing, right, boosting, right, the active, positive revelation of God's oneness. It's explained and clarified and boosted by negating the opposite, right? I'm one and only, so that's, saying the statement of positive. And you prove it in the negative, right? Bring on the others, the ones who claim it, and I'll negate them, right? And that's our whole testimony of, we have to do good, we also have to negate evil. And that's our war with Amalek. Amalek is, the evil we have to negate. And that's the Yetzer Hara, we have to negate. Right? So we have to do the mitzvahs, we also have to resist temptation and negate evil. And between the two together, the positive revelation of oneness and the negation of the other, the two complement each other to the total clarity of God's oneness. Right? And that's really the secret of Moshe Rabbeinu and Purim. Moshe Rabbeinu is to demonstrate the oneness of God in the positive. God speaks through his mouth. God, everyone heard God speaking to him at Har Sinai. Right? And that's the Chumash. The Chumash is the pure, unmitigated word of God. It's God, speaking through Moshe. And that's the Chumash, and that's Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's also the hands up in the war with Amalek. You should know that all your power that you have in your hands, it all comes from above, it all comes from Hashem. Hashem is the one and only. So Moshe Rabbeinu is the positive revelation of God is one, right? And we who struggle against Amalek, right, it was Yoshua in Moshe Rabbeinu's own days, and in every generation it's, it's someone else, and Purim was Mordechai and Esther, right? They're negating the evil. They're negating the evil. And now Moshe Rabbeinu's power is perpetually with us because his power is the Torah itself, and we have Torah with us forever. And that's what the Rambam's saying. The Chumash and the Torah Shebaal Peh is forever, so we have Moshe Rabbeinu's power with us forever because we have the Chumash with us. We have the Torah Shebaal Peh with us. The Torah Shebaal Peh is the secret of Moshe Rabbeinu's wife, Kalas Moshe. So having the Torah with us, which is the positive revelation of the good, right? The positive revelation, the power of God, it's the Torah, that's his word, that's God's revelation, right? So that's the power of Moshe Rabbeinu is perpetually with us. It's all called Teras Moshe, right? And Purim added the negation of the negative, because just having the positive is not enough. You also have to have the negation of the negative to fully accentuate and stress and to enhance, right? The positive, right? The positive revelation of God is the one and only is enhanced by the negation of the evil. And that's the Megillah. Megillah and everything about Purim, Mechiyas Amalek, negating Amalek, that's the other half of it. It's the other half of it. Negation of the evil is the other half of the positive revelation. Right? And that's why everything about the Megillah has to do with the negation of evil. And it's like the, you know, in a certain way, the opposite of the Torah, and yet complementary. It's the opposite of the Chumash, yet complementary to the Chumash. It's all about the story of the negation of evil. So God is not even mentioned there, because it's like, you know, it's talking about evil, and it's negation. It's not talking about the positive goods. It's about the negation of evil. So God's only alluded to there, but God doesn't unite his name with the evil. Right? He's only alluded to there. But the negation of the evil is the other half of the proactive revelation of God's oneness. Right? The negation of evil accentuates and buttresses and enhances the revelation of the positive revelation of God's oneness, which is Moshe with their hands up. And that's the secret, that Megillas Esther is the other half of Chumash. The Chumash, Moshe Rabbeinu's book, you know, is the active revelation of divinity and the oneness of God, right? And the Megillah is the negation, it's the other half. And that's why it's up there with the Chumash. It's like the other half. It's the complementary twin of the Chumash, but different. It wouldn't be complementary if it wouldn't be different. And that's the secret of Purim Torah. Secret of Purim Torah is like, say, real Torah, but in reverse. Right? Classical Purim Torah is not supposed to be stupid jokes. Classical Purim Torah is supposed to be real lumdus with crazy applications, or saying it all backwards, because it's supposed to be the far side of the Torah, like the far side, the far side of Torah. Right? The other half, you know, the inverse, but the inverse that's complementary. It's the inverse that's complementary. Inverse, but because it's inverse, it's complementary. The negation of evil is complementary to the active revelation of God's oneness. And that's Vayah Hashem L'Shem. The Mikra Megillah adds to the name of God, the Ushma Echad, because the active revelation of the name of God, which is the Chumash, with the revelation that happened through Moshe Rabbeinu, it's complemented by the Megillah, the Ushma Echad, because the negation of evil is the other half. So in short, Megillah is the inverse, the complementary inverse of Chumash, and that's also the secret of what we try to do with Purim Torah, and we're going to go deeper this further in our series.